Everyone's Got an Opinion by Venturous, read by R.S. Crichton, Sky Unicorn, and Venturous. Sherlock is striding about, hands waving, mussing his hair.
Mrs. Hudson, what have you done with my skull?
There's a muffled voice from another room.
I could swear I heard Watson. John? Why aren't you here? Married. How the devil did you get in my sock drawer? Never mind. At last, someone I can talk to. There, back on the mantle where you belong.
Thank God. I thought I'd expire in there.
Oh, fearful. Mrs. Hudson does the laundry. Better than John, even.
No comment.
Sherlock sits with a flump onto the sofa.
Bored.
Why, you have a case right in your hand.
Oh, this? Well, boring. Lestrade should know better than to give me these tedious missing husband cases. Clearly he's having an affair.
Come on, run it by me.
Mrs. Porter, née McKenzie, 37, reports her husband's disappearance after a few weeks of strange behavior. The couple have 2 children, well-groomed public school brats to all appearance. Nothing going on there. Mrs. Porter was a paralegal until her 2nd child was born, and has recently returned to part-time work at a prestigious law firm, Argyle, McKenzie, and Duncan. Offices in Edinburgh, one imagines.
Fascinating. Do continue.
Mr. Porter is a solicitor with the firm. He was once a candidate for barrister, but apparently didn't have the star quality. But the missus clearly wants him to attain power. It's obvious. Poor, henpecked Daniel Porter, shoved into high achievement by wife and in-laws, then failing to measure up, begins seeking relief somewhere else. Probably, at first, in a pub, where he meets a bird who makes him feel special. And it comes to pass that all Dan Porter really wants is to live in a cottage in Cornwall with said bird, and they run off.
That is truly pathetic for a great detective.
What can you possibly have to offer to shed any light on this?
Well, that photo that just slipped out onto the coffee table.
What about it? Don't just grin at me like an idiot.
He stares, turns it over in his hands.
What? What am I missing?
Sherlock flops in his chair, peering into the photo, settling into a slower breathing pattern, although still tapping a foot.
Fine, we'll just ask Dr. Watson. Tell me what you see, John. Okay. Let's see, Sherlock. Dan Porter, late 30s. Good suit, but it's too large for him. Either he's got a terrible tailor, or he's recently lost a good bit of weight. Good, fine, what else? He's wearing a wedding ring, a tie clip with the company logo, and a collar pin from some association. I can't quite make out what it is, a tiny gear or circle? So, married, company man, accomplished, and a member of some organization, established. Undershot jaw, poor teeth, uncorrected by orthodontics. Unusual for his class, is it not? What would you tell me about this man's health, Dr. Watson?
Oh, for God's sake, man. Do you have to pretend he's here? You're really going off the deep end, Sherlock.
Sherlock ignores this.
Well, Doctor? I can't be sure from this photo, Sherlock. It seems he's suffering from something that is drying his skin, or perhaps it's the result of sleep deprivation. Look at the hollows under his eyes and the premature lines on his face. He looks older than he should. Very good, Doctor. And what would deprive a man of sleep, or cause him to lose body mass and water?
Sherlock stands abruptly, clomping across the room and seizes the skull in one long-fingered hand. He holds it up theatrically, peering at it.
Well? Speak, you grinning sod. Alas, dear Watson, I knew you well. Lestrade, thank goodness you've come. John is missing.
Good morning, Sherlock. I'm here about the Porter case. John is on his honeymoon.
Sex holiday.
Like I said. Hey, where did you get that skull? You haven't been grave robbing on my watch, have you?
Lestrade grabs for the skull. Sherlock evades him with a twirl. Then, showing off, he tosses the skull underhanded to his left hand. Lestrade snatches it away from him, deftly.
Hey, that's mine.
Les enfants terribles.
What?
I played American basketball at Hendon.
I've had that since school days. Give it to me.
Not so fast, mate.
He holds it up and gazes at it. Now then, you. What do you know? And when did you know it?
And say, eh? Well, we'll just have to haul you down to the yard for further interrogation.
Oh, please, Gavin. Greg.
My God, you remembered my name. Are you feeling okay? Yes, let's go over this case, shall we? What have you got?
He plunks into John's old chair. Sherlock winces.
Well, I was going to brush this off as a simple case of infidelity, but in close examination of the photos, I have new suspicions.
Huh, well, do tell.
I need to know where he's been going the past few months. Have you got any articles of his clothing, or trace analysis from his car? I almost ruled out medical condition, but not quite. You see, it looks like the man has been exposing himself to something that is severely drying his skin, creating sunburn, almost.
A tanning bed?
No, he's not very brown. And those places wouldn't allow their clients to look like this. His appearance is desiccated, prematurely wrinkled. Add to this, he appears to have lost weight and sleep of late. When was this photo taken?
According to the missus, it was a recent fundraiser. Could he be ill?
One might surmise an illness, but I don't believe that patterns in his calendar bear that out.
Let me see what I can get for you from trace analysis.
I need to examine his home, car, office.
All right. I'll set it up.
Lestrade tosses the skull back. Sherlock fumbles, almost drops it, and scowls.
Text me when we're going. I can't get any further without something.
He holds the door open for Lestrade, who starts down the stairs.
Mrs. Hudson, where is my tea?
The lab at St. Bart's. Sherlock is looking over trace minerals report.
Traces of silica sand, iron oxide, oxides of lead, and what's this? Cobalt? Cobalt? Well, you don't see that every day.
He sits back, looking pleased, consults his phone, puzzled.
Would have to be a ceramic or glass manufacturer.
Hello, Sherlock. I wanted to let you know that I have...
He waves her off, imperiously.
I'm busy, thanks, bye.
He phones Lestrade. Lestrade walks into the lab. Phone ringing. Yes? Sherlock peers at his phone, confused.
Gavin.
Sherlock looks up.
Oh, good, you're here. That was quick. Listen, I'm onto something. There are traces of cobalt.
Molly, I didn't see you there. How are you these days?
Oh, fine. Not engaged.
Oh, would you like to have coffee and...
Okay, kids, that's enough. Take your mating rituals away from the halls of science, please.
Lestrade winks at Molly. Okay, Dr. Science, what have you got for me?
Oh, Sherlock, do let me know if you're interested in those untraceable corpses I just got in case you need anything, you know, for your experiments.
Sherlock glares at Molly, then rolls his eyes at Lestrade, shrugging. Lestrade watches Molly leave the room.
Gavin, focus on the case, please, not Mrs. Hooper's ass.
Oh, yeah. You were saying chromium?
Cobalt. Cobalt oxide. The periglass crystal form used for tinting ceramics deep blue. Mildly radiosensitive, but not, in these concentrations, enough to be considered weapons grade.
Radiosensitive? You mean radioactive?
Not this stuff. This is a stable compound used to make things blue. Paint, glass, the like. A missing solicitor was frequenting a kiln or ceramics factory of some kind, is my guess.
Lestrade looks befuddled. Kiln, like pottery and the like. Sherlock nods.
That's where you find the stuff.
He whips out his phone.
4 china factories, 3 glassworks, 32 paint-your-own potteries, 200 craft ceramicists, 42 art glassmakers, and 12,000 school kilns within the metro area, plus ceramic suppliers at 14 locations to them. We've got almost nothing to help us.
So, what would our guy be doing at a pottery shop?
Long evenings away from home, mysterious absences from family functions, and frequent sick days when our man wasn't home. Whatever kept him so busy involved these chemicals. It's all throughout the carpeting in his car and closet at home. Also, traces in their dryer lint.
So, he was cheating on his wife by making pottery.
It would seem so, yet no other evidence of this has appeared in his home or office. Mrs. Porter reports no new hobbies or interests. Perhaps the love interest is our craftsperson. We need a way to narrow down this field of locations.
Listen, I need to get going. I have an appointment.
Date with Molly, yes, I know. Good, keep her occupied, Geoff, and out of my hair.
And I'm grilling her about untraceable corpses. You know that, right? Later that night, striding through darkened streets.
Well, John, have you come up with anything? Why I put up with such lesser minds, I have no idea. May as well talk to the skull.
He arrives at 221B, hesitates, studying the door.
Not my brother.
Opens the unlocked door and steps in cautiously.
You're not really here.
I am actually really here.
Well, have you come up with anything on that case?
Case?
Where's my skull?
He stalks out of the room. Oh, for heaven's sake! Never mind. Why do I even bother? He stands to go, clearly upset.
John, what did you do with my skull?
Nothing! I didn't touch your damn skull. I don't know anything about the case, because you never call or text me. And I haven't seen you in weeks, and now I see why. He stomps towards the door.
Where are you going? We have work to do.
Sherlock, you are impossible. I came over because I wanted to see you, because I miss you. Do you get that, you idiot?
No, you're the idiot. Now, about this case. Please, John, do sit down and let me fill you in. I apologize, I was sure I had briefed you already. Perhaps I was mistaken.
John reluctantly returns to his chair.
Blah, 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 case, details, etc.
I have no idea how you're going to get anywhere with that chemicals lead. The stuff is too common.
Well, I'm researching the subtleties of cobalt oxide used in glass for clues. For instance, a compound is rarely used in lead oxide, as we have found it on Mr. Porter's things, in a low-temperature process like school and hobby kilns, so that also rules out paint-your-own shops.
So who uses higher-temp kilns?
Commercial china and glassmakers, some artistic ceramicists.
He shuts the computer with a firm click and stands.
Let's go.
Where?
Morgan Advanced Materials, Windsor.
He swirls on his bell staff and trips gaily down the stairs, John following. Having discovered the few buyers of cobalt and lead oxides that would implicate the missing man, Sherlock and John head back to Baker Street to plot location on a map and make a plan.
Good work, Sherlock. Now we have a manageable list of purchasers to work from. Plot a map and...
Yes, Watson, now we're getting somewhere. Tonight we can investigate some of these locations and...
I have to go home soon, Sherlock.
And determine if our Mr. Porter has been visiting the premises. What?
I'm married. Need to go home. To marry.
Can't she come along?
She's pregnant, Sherlock. Can't have her exposed to cobalt and lead. Besides, she's not a detective.
She can break into places.
Yeah, that. Listen, I'll be back tomorrow to help out with this, all right?
Fine, whatever, wife, got it.
He peers at the computer screen and scribbles notes.
Lock the door on your way out.
Good night, Sherlock. Try and get some sleep.
Sheriff.
What?
Let be out of here.
He investigates around the room and lifts a soft cushion to find the skull.
Aha, there you are. What were you doing under there? Trying to avoid me?
No, that imbecile Lestrade left me there.
Lestrade? Was he here again? When?
This afternoon. You were sleeping.
Really? And you didn't think to wake me?
I'm not your mother.
So, tell me what you know about this cobalt lead oxide business.
It's a less common way to make very blue glass. I use tiny amounts in my trade.
Your trade?
Yes. I once made glass eyes for the maimed, in my time.
You did? No, I really am losing my mind, apparently. Glass eyes.
Sherlock's mobile rings.
Greg, what were you doing here this morning? Why didn't you wake me? Yes, but I've narrowed it down to... But I really have to visit the glass... Okay, we'll have something for you by tomorrow, or I'm off the case. Got it. Oh, wonderful. London's finest has an excellent strategy. Nail someone, anyone, for the crime and put it to bed. No, I don't care if they did it or not. Just solve it and move on.
Footsteps on the stairs that are not John.
Now what? Why do I never have peace?
Hi, Sherlock. I was just in the neighborhood. Is this a good time?
No, absolutely not a good time. Go away.
Molly picks up the skull, who seems to grin a little brighter.
Oh, that's quite a nice old specimen. You know, you can't get these anymore, just plastic ones.
Are you here for a reason of any kind? Bring me a corpse, perhaps, or something to help solve my case.
Molly is turning the old bone in her hands, inspecting it with practice care.
This fellow died at about 34, probably in northern India, Bangladesh, sometime around 1860, 1880.
Really? What else can you tell me?
Well, he was likely not very tall, probably ate a poor diet. He did suffer a severe blow to the head, but that was not the cause of death, because it healed up nicely. He has remarkably straight teeth compared to most Brits.
She's sharp. I like her.
She's an idiot.
What did you say?
You're no idiot, sweetheart. Take me out with you.
You know, Sherlock, I could confiscate this. There is a project to repatriate the remains of Indian nationals stolen by our ancestors.
Don't you dare. I'd be lost without my skull. Best listener I've ever known. Now, why exactly are you here if not to harass me?
Oh, I wanted to ask you some questions about Greg. He seems so nice, but I'm sure you know him better.
Who?
Your friend, Inspector Lestrade.
Oh, yes, that Greg. What about him?
Well, I think he's a bit sweet on me, and I want to know a little bit about his marriage and divorce and...
Oh, for God's sakes, Molly, go talk to Mrs. Hudson for that kind of gossip. I pay it all no mind. He's probably perfectly good in bed.
Sherlock, tell me you don't know that firsthand.
What? No, of course not. Not my type. Or Mycroft's.
Now you've said too much.
Mrs. Hudson can answer all your human interest queries. Now go, unless you have something relevant to discuss about my case.
You can be such a royal ass, Sherlock.
Indeed. Smart woman, Sherlock.
Shut up, both of you.
Mrs. Hudson, have time for tea.
In a darkened factory building, Southwark.
John, this way.
I can't see what I'm about to trip over. Ouch! Ow, my shins.
Are you alright?
Fine, just fine. Now what are we doing here?
They creep up on an archway that is casting ruddy light and shadows at figures made huge.
What is this place?
Shh!
That's eerily beautiful. Are they dancing?
Look.
Glass blowers.
They watch as two figures work, one dipping molten glass from a blazing furnace, then spins the glowing mass. The other uses large implements to shape it against an anvil. Then it goes back into the furnace. Brilliant deduction, Doctor.
Shut up, you.
What? Wait, do you have your skull with you?
No time for that now. Here come Lestrade and his crew.
All right, Porter. Just what is going on here?
Hilarious. Did you ever see the Keystone Cops?
Cop sees the two figures from behind who didn't hear or see anything. So intent were they. Sherlock and John watch the drama unfold as the figures throwing long shadows in the reddish light. The handcuffed culprits are hauled away. On the street, police lights are flashing.
Good job, boys. Thanks again.
I couldn't have done it without my skull. Or my blocker.
Donovan rolls her eyes. But the part I can't figure out is, how on earth did you know that the glassblower was a meth dealer?
Well, it was elementary, Inspector. The outer warehouse was full of crates for shipping paperweights all over the country. Obviously no one uses paperweights anymore, since we have mobile phones. So they had to contain something of greater value.
Good save.
Also the presence of sugar, of lead, and palladium, neither used for glass, inclined me to consider other chemical processes involved as well. It was a clever scheme.
That's amazing.
Mr. Porter was preparing to run off with Peter Layerton, his glass teacher, and blow glass.
And one might presume other things.
Do shut up.
I don't know how you put up with him.
I don't now.
See you later, Sherlock. Good day, Greg. Sally.
Wait.
He grabs John's hand.
Beckish, let's get Chinese.
John looks down at their clasped hands, then up at Sherlock.
Fine, but only if you get rid of that skull first.
Fiend. Thanks for listening. This was a podfic put together for Pod Together Lightning in the month of May. The story was written by Venturous. The casting is Sherlock, read by R.S. Crichton. The Skull, Lestrade, and John, read by Sky Unicorn. And Molly, read by Venturous. Narrated by Sky Unicorn. Sound effects by Venturous.
please wait for the sweet, royalty-free track Monkeys Spitting Monkeys by Kevin MacLeod at incomtech.com to finish. Or don't. It's your life. Whatever. Thank you.